Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
All right, sports fans, it's time to get into sports talk in and around the DMV, as I am glad to welcome the listening audience to another exciting edition of Listen In with KNN Sports Talk radio show and podcast, presented right here by Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. This week, we're going to get into everything football and basketball related with the WNBA and the NFL. Because so much is going on, as I am excited to welcome in Anthony Adebayo, host of Off the Record podcast, a great sports podcast that you guys should all listen to. And with that, let's get into the show. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation on social media using hashtag ListenInWithKNN or hashtag LIWKNN. All right, sports fans, it's time to get into sports talk in and around the DMV, as I am glad to welcome the listening audience to another exciting edition of Listen In with KNN Sports Talk radio show and podcast, presented right here by Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. This week, we're going to get into everything football and basketball related with the WNBA and the NFL. Because so much is going on, as I am excited to welcome in Anthony Adebayo, host of Off the Record podcast, a great sports podcast that you guys should all listen to. And with that, let's get into the show. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation on social media using hashtag ListenInWithKNN or hashtag LIWKNN. Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports town of the district and beyond, where I am now excited to welcome in my very special guest, a good colleague, a good friend, Anthony Adebayo, host of Off the Record podcast. Anthony, how are you tonight?
How you doing?
I am fantastic. I'm glad we finally got to connect. And for all the fans, Anthony and I first met at the Washington Valor Games. We were some of the faithful reporters covering the team season, even though I'm sad, Anthony, they didn't bring home the championship this year when I was a team reporter. Yeah. That's all I wanted.
Yeah, unfortunately, they couldn't finish the deal. But there's always next year.
There's always next year. That's what we always say in Washington for most of our sports. Since the Caps right now, I guess, seem to be one of the only teams we can count on, and soon, actually, we'll be talking about the Washington Mystics because they might be bringing home a championship. But before we dive into sports talk, Anthony, let the fans know a little bit about your background and how you got into sports broadcasting.
Okay, well, I'm originally from New Jersey, and I've been a football player since I think, third or fourth grade. Went to college at Virginia State and always wanted to, like, I always talk sports with my friends and I always felt like I'm pretty knowledgeable of different sports. Some sports people would be like, wait, they'd say, you know about this,
I was going to say, if you weren't knowledgeable, we couldn't have you on the show. So of course.
Right. Yeah. So once I moved to the area, I wanted to, get my voice out. So a friend of mine, a college buddy of mine, Scotty B, who's on the show, we started Off the Record. We actually started in Richmond, but we really took it serious once we were in the D.C. area. And then it was just, I had to figure out, what I needed to do to get access, and that's when I had some help, got some press passes, and with the Valor, I actually covered the CIAA basketball tournament and the CIAA football championship the last 2 years. in the CIAA basketball championship the last 3 years. And that's, I actually really started with the CIAA, interviewing some of the teams that, luckily for me, Virginia State won two out of those 3 years that I was covering. So that was a big thing, being at my alma mater. And then now we're just trying to grow.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. And shout out to Richmond. I will say that you have some ties to Richmond. I love their soul food in Richmond. If you're in the DMV area, you got to venture out to Richmond to get some of the best soul food, at least in this part of the area. Shout out to Mama J's and some other soul food places. Obviously, I'm hungry recording the show. And it's so funny, Anthony, because even though you're from Jersey, you say area like we say it from the DMV. So we've had some mm-hmm. good influence on you. I will say, you're almost like one of us.
I don't know. I guess. I mean, I've been here for a while, so, but I have those Jersey ties.
It's okay. Look, I'm giving you the honorary DMV. Like, you're part of us now, so it's okay. Even though I love
okay.
But no place like the DMV. I'm sorry, it's home.
I have a pass. I get a pass through the area.
You do. See, you're like one of us now. No one's going to know you how you're from Jersey. But Anthony, thank you for sharing your background. I want to get into sports talk with you since, after all, that is what we do. And I want to start off with my Doing It Big in the DMV segment where, Anthony, I want to start off with the Washington Mystics. I want to give the ladies some love as we talked about championship teams.
Absolutely.
And the Washington Mystics are now in the semifinals, which is very exciting. If you've been following WNBA, which I hope you have, because there's some great basketball coming
course,
on.
Of course. I'll actually be at game two. I'll be covering game two.
There we go. Yep. So the Washington Mystics, the Las Vegas Aces, the Connecticut Sun, and Los Angeles Sparks are all trying to go to the finals. As he said, the games are kicking off. And I'm excited for the Washington Mystics. I mean, they have, of course, are led by Elena Deladon, who is just a beast, Anthony, which I already know you know. At the free throw line, she's shooting 97.4%. Like, who does that? I don't care if you're a man
That's
or
true.
A woman. Like, she definitely understands the purpose of a free throw. Elena Deladon is just fantastic. They're 17-2 since the All-Star break. Of course, Elena Deladon, Anthony, can shoot from anywhere on the floor. So
absolutely, yes.
I mean, what do you do? It's tough. Like, I mean, it doesn't matter what pressure you have in your face or whatever. Like, she's just an incredible, incredible beast. And it looks like the Mystics they're favored to win this series. Emma Mieseman is also having a fantastic time with the Mystics. She's the only one that has a higher shooting percentage than Deladon on the Washington Mystics.
Right.
But overall, they seem like they could bring it home this year, Anthony. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think that the experience of last year going to the finals and falling a bit short kind of gave them that I guess one experience and two that push and that fire. So I think this is the year. I think that, you know, I know the Caps won a couple of years ago and the Valor won last year. So it's time to, I guess you have to keep the streak going of the championship in the area. I mean, you can't really count on
yes.
the Redskins.
Oh, Shady Thrones. All right. We're going to have to get your turn here. I don't want that Redskins heat.
but the Mystics, I would favor them to be the champions. If I had to make a pick, I would pick the Mystics to come out as the WNBA champions of this season.
Yeah, and you talked about last year. They were great last year, and this year even better. And last year was heartbreaking, but hopefully this year is the year to do it. The Mystics have the best offensive rating in the entire league. I think the only problem is if they can slow down Aja Wilson and Liz Cambridge, I mean, for the Aces, the Mystics, again, are going to be a very scary, dangerous team. If you slow down those two who combine 32 points a game, like, then honestly, the Aces don't have as many weapons, and they're not as hard of a team to beat. So I have to say, watch out for the Mystics. Go support them at their entertainment and sports arena. And I think you're right. They might be the next team to bring us a championship. And hopefully continue to keep off this DC sports curse that we thought we had until the Caps won most recently and the Washington Valor. We need some good sports love in DC. It's such a political town, so we need some positives going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So hopefully sports brings
absolutely.
So good luck to the Washington Mystics. What a time to be watching them. I've been going to their games, Anthony, since I was little, so it's really exciting to see how they've just been and continuing to improve. And it's good to see their new mm-hmm. arena. And I'm glad, honestly, to see all the devoted Mystics fans we have out here, Anthony. It seems like we have a nice little WNBA following here in D.C.
And that's a good thing. I remember I went to a game last year just as a fan. I took my daughters. To go see, I took them to go see the Mystics versus the Atlanta Dream. Mm-hmm. Actually, I knew a couple of players on the Dream, and so my daughters got this experience. And I think that was the day they had the camp day to get there.
Right. Yeah, when they have all the kids camp time.
Yeah. So they played that game. They played that game at Capital One, and it was, you know, so that was those were my daughter's first times ever going to a WNBA game, and they had a ball. They had a blast. So I like what they're doing to continue to make it fan-friendly and continuing to build the audience. I think that's something that a lot of other WNBA teams need to do. And I know we had this conversation off the record. There has to be a way to have the NBA mm-hmm. have those guys come in and support as well, because, you know, that would help.
Right. That's huge. I would say the only place that I've really seen push and promote the WNBA kind of better than here in D.C. is the Las Vegas Aces. When I was in Vegas this summer for a conference, I spoke at an NBA Summer League. You get off at mm-hmm. the airport, you get off the plane, and they have Las Vegas Aces stuff everywhere, okay? So you enter the airport, nice. You see it. Then in my hotel, they had it everywhere. It was magnificent to see. Then walking on the strip, Las Vegas Aces stuff. I mean, that's what we need to push and promote our teams. We have to give the ladies the same love that we do our NBA teams, because, of course, in NBA cities, you see it everywhere, no matter how bad the team mm-hmm. is. And like you said, the NBA, you have to support. I'm not talking about just doing a commercial with the star players one time a year or having the players go to like two or three games. No, it needs to be devoted, continued support. It has to be a relationship. Just like any relationship, you have to put time, effort, and love into it. And then right now, that relationship's kind of one-sided, and the NBA is not giving that love to the WNBA. But the WNBA can grow. I want to see them get back to more teams in the league. And I think it's the same thing for when we cover Arena Football League. Anthony, it's the same thing, that devoted fan base, but you got to have that support. But the WNBA, of course, is different in the fact that they have the support of the NBA, so we have to continue to see it grow. So please support
absolutely.
The WNBA. I promise it's good basketball, good fundamental basketball, and as you said, it's a really great family sport to take your kids to, your wife, whoever. It's really fun. All right, Anthony, so now we're going to transition into sports around the nation, where it seems like quarterbacks are dropping like flies around the NFL. Like, I'm sorry for fantasy teams. Maybe it's good I didn't do fantasy this year, because I probably would have been hurt. And I probably saved myself from the pain. But let's start off New Orleans, the Who Dat Nation. Drew Brees, it was just reported that he's going to be back to Los Angeles. Unfortunately, the Saints quarterback will have to have surgery on a torn ligament on his throwing thumb of all thumbs. And he'll be seen by Dr. Stephen Shin this week in L.A., and that's according to the NFL Network. Mm-hmm. His recovery, Anthony, expected to take 6 to 8 weeks. Now, note that the Saints have not yet put him on injured reserve, which would keep him out at least 8 weeks. So keep that in mind. So Teddy Bridgewater now was able to finish the game for the Saints, and Sean Payton's is believed to continue to use Bridgewater at the start. And I think the Saints still have weapons in Michael Thomas, of course, and Alvin Kamara. But do you think the Saints are still going to be a team to look out for, Anthony, in the division? Or what are we going to see now? Drew Brees, unfortunately, no longer there.
The majority pick to win that division, the NFC South, was the Saints. With Drew Brees going down, I mean, it's there for the taking for Atlanta. I think that Atlanta has to figure it out. If they haven't given if they haven't figured it, if they don't win that division this season, then they need to, it may be time for some changes. Because when you have someone like Drew Brees, who is, he's been in that offense for over a decade, it's hard to take that away and think you're going to get the same productivity. Bridgewater is a good quarterback. I think that he can possibly pull a Nick Foles and keep the team afloat while Brees is coming back, because even after those 6 weeks, let's just say at the low end, or even the high end of 8 weeks, he's still going to need maybe a week or two to just get back acclimated to the speed of the game and things of that nature. So I think right now the NFC South is wide open. I think Atlanta is the new favorite, because Cam and the Panthers, they just lost to the Bucks. He's probably not going to play in week three. And the Bucks are, I think, 2 years away. I think they get rid of Jameis. I don't think they're going to re-sign Jameis Winston. And I think that they're going
right
to.
Now. Sorry, Winston fan. Huh? I said I feel bad for Winston fan. It's been tough.
Yeah, and with Jameis, sometimes he's a great athlete. He's a really mm-hmm. good quarterback. I think a lot of the times he's putting a lot of pressure on himself, and he was so turnover prone. And that's been his biggest issue, because he has the numbers. I mean, if you look at Jameis Winston's numbers, if he didn't turn the ball over as much as he did, he would definitely be a top-tier quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
But he had a ton of turnovers. So I think that's his big problem. And with that, I think you look at Atlanta and you say, you guys have all the pieces. You guys aren't injured this year. What are you going to do?
Right. And it's something to really look at. And I'm glad you brought up Cam. And it's so funny because I compared Cam and his recent production to when Joe Flacco was ending with the Ravens, in the sense that both of them are talented quarterbacks, but you can have those interceptions. Mm-hmm. And I think that's always what's hurt Joe Flacco's numbers. And why we always continue to talk about the million-dollar question, is he elite or not? And then you talked about the Falcons, and the NFC South is, like you said, it's open. I think my only problem with the Falcons, though, if I'm honest with you, the production of their running game, it has to improve. You've got to have one. Right now, they're averaging only 65 yards per game. Anthony, we might as well be on the team to average that. That's not enough.
That's not enough.
It's crazy, right? And then right now, yeah. I mean, who knows if they'll even get on the 1,000-yard mark over their 16 games if they keep averaging that number. You got to have the production. You talked about I think Matt Ryan is kind of up for, we are judging. And like you said, I mean, the Falcons, they have to improve. I think we're tired of the mediocre seasons. Cam right now and the Panthers are not a scary team, even though, again, like you said, Cam is a very talented quarterback. I'm not writing him off yet. And leave my guy alone about his outfit. Everyone has their own personal style.
That's his style. I'm not mad at him, man. It's like you said, it's his style. Let him rock.
Westbrook has his style. Dennis Rodman has his style. Everybody has their own style. Sometimes it's a little funky and unique, but you know what? Not everybody can do it. So I'll give it to Cam. He's never afraid of some camera time. But it's just the Saints, I feel for them, because we know what happened last season. And, of course, the Saints felt that they should have been in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. And now Drew Brees is going, well, it looks like you can erase that hope, but it looks like we won't see you in Miami for this year's Super Bowl. But saying that to say, I hope he gets back to his production. But without Brees, it seems like it's going to be tougher, right, because they had connection and chemistry. But again, having Thomas and Kamara, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if you have a backup. Those are two strong weapons. And staying on quarterbacks, Anthony, let's switch it over to the AFC North, where the Pittsburgh Steelers, next thing we know, Big Ben also going down. He called the news shocking and heartbreaking that he would have season-ending surgery. Remember, Big Ben is 37 years old now, people. All right, and he is a Super Bowl champion. He did feel like he let a lot of people down. And this was his 16th season with the Steelers. We were only 2 weeks into the season, right? We were just happy the regular season has been started. And then next thing you know, Mason Rudolph had to take over Sunday's game against the Seattle Seahawks. And now the Pittsburgh Steelers find themselves 0-2, which I don't know if a lot of people saw coming. So saying that to say, what do you think is going to happen with the Pittsburgh Steelers this NFL season without Big Ben at the helm?
Well, I think that I don't even think that they're in that much trouble. I don't think they're in as much trouble as people think. I think Mason Rudolph is going to shock a lot of people. I'm gonna just give somebody a little caveat or a clue. Pick up on your fantasy. Pick up Mason Rudolph. I mean, because James Conner's still there. They still have their tight ends. They still have Juju, James Washington. They still have a lot of weapons on that offense. And when Mason Rudolph came in and to come in for Roethlisberger, he looked all right. So I wouldn't write off the Steelers. That's a very tough division. But I wouldn't write off Mason Rudolph. I think that the Steelers may still win 8 to 10 games. 10 is on the high end. I don't think they'll win more than 10, but I think they'll win between 8 and 10 games.
All right. It is. It's in the AFC North. Usually we're talking about the Ravens and the Steelers atop, right? We're looking at which one is going to be on top, because I'm sorry, Browns and Bengals fans, but you're not worried about as much in that division. Even though the Browns, okay, they have weapons, right? They just got to wait for it to all come together. And we'll talk about the Ravens soon when we talk about Lamar Jackson, but right now they are playing lights out football. So it's scary season, but you talked about James Conner, and like you said, they have weapons, all right? I'm not writing them off completely. And then AFC North, too, let's remember, too, that's the defensive battlefront division. So it's not always also about your offense. So I think it's going to be a good one, but of course, I can't say that I have the Steelers winning that division if the Ravens keep playing the way that they are. And with that, let's get to the Ravens, because we have to talk about Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
And his complete emergence. So Michael Vick was just talking to TMZ, giving him heavy praise. Lamar Jackson is compared often to Michael Vick. Vick said, if anybody looking like me, it's Lamar. That's a dangerous man behind center. Lamar Jackson just continues to prove Sam's wrong. I want people just to go back with me a little bit. When Lamar Jackson was coming out of college, wanted to go to the NFL, people were saying, should he play wide receiver? They were saying he's too short, he's too skinny, he can't make it in the NFL as a quarterback. And then also some said, there was an ECC coach who said he wouldn't even have a chance to ever play in the NFL, saying he can't read, he can't make throws, he can't read coverages. Like, it was truly, truly hateration going on. All right, but now you look at the stats. And there are only two quarterbacks in the NFL stat-wise who are better than Jackson. And best believe they're Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. Now, I still know it's early in the season. And I still know the Ravens' first game came against the horrible, horrible Miami Dolphins. Which, if you don't beat the Dolphins, you really got to talk to your team in that locker room. But against the Cardinals, which was a harder team to face off against, and Terrell Suggs was back in Baltimore, I think we saw, again, Lamar Jackson continued to prove the haters wrong. And he was doing it. Not just on his legs, which we knew he could do, but through the air. And now the Ravens are 2-0, and people are talking about that's the team to watch out for. Cliff Kingsbury just said that. You know, he said Lamar made great throws from the pocket all day. He watched it firsthand. He said you have to tip your hat off to him. He's staying in there and throwing it. Shout out to the offensive line. He said he can beat you that way and also beat you with his legs. He's hard to handle. So saying that to say, what do you think of Lamar Jackson thus far into the NFL season?
I was one of the few people that thought that Lamar Jackson wasn't that bad of a quarterback last year. Here's my thing with rookie quarterbacks. You know, most teams they put handcuffs on them.
And so
I mean, of course, you know, John Harbaugh. He's one of those coaches who will play to the strengths of his stars, and that's exactly what he's doing right now. So they didn't, you know, a lot of the offense didn't really change from last year, except that they're letting him throw the ball more. They're just more comfortable with him at quarterback. So over the summer, he clearly showed that he can do these things. And now the work that he put in, you can tell that he a good amount of time over the summer and working on his craft. And I guess proof is in the pudding that he believes in himself. And now, no way he's playing running back, receiver. He's quarterback. And he's showing everybody that, you know, when he came out of college, he's a quarterback. And he was going to play quarterback. And
And
I think you got to give props to Ozzie Newsome.
Yes, that last pick of the first draft. In the first round, and let's not forget, was all Ozzie. That was Ozzie. I give him props, Anthony. And I'm so glad you're giving Lamar his praise. Let me tell you, I thought Lamar was a good quarterback. My only problem with how Baltimore used him last season is that we really didn't get to see his skills, right? Like, John was using him more so for the trick plays. And, again, he was also playing behind Flacco, who obviously has an arm. So I don't think we got to see the full extent of Lamar, right? So we kind of got to see what we knew about Lamar was that he could run and he could do the short check passes, right? This season, now all of a sudden, when Lamar's starting and has to – and he has a great offense. And the thing I love about the Ravens right now, Anthony, is that they don't have these huge star wide receivers. On offense.
Well,
right now, Brown is making a name for himself because him and Lamar have been able to connect. But Hurst,
absolutely.
I mean, if you have to really be a football fan, if you can name all of the Baltimore Ravens wide receivers, of course, Mark Ingram was also great. And I'm just being honest, right? Like, they don't have Antonio.
No, you're right.
Like, and that's why I said what he's doing, I think, is something special. And the receivers, shout out, and the tight ends, he's getting the tight end. Like, the tight ends, honestly, if I'm honest with you, you've been following the Ravens, the tight end position in Baltimore has kind of always been up since the Todd Heap era. And if you remember Todd Heap, you remember what I'm talking about. But now the tight ends are making a name for themselves with Lamar throwing the ball. Everyone's getting involved in offense. Again, you have a Mark Ingram that, you know, is able to run the ball and push it. But what they're doing in Baltimore, I think, is pretty special. And if you're looking at the stats, if we're saying numbers never lie, right now the Baltimore Ravens have the top overall offense in terms of yards, followed by the Kansas and then the Kansas City Chiefs. You guys, the Chiefs are third after two games. Remember, they had Patrick Mahomes. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah, and for now.
People say can't throw. No, I know it's early in the season, but you have to give them on the spot. That's all I'm saying, Anthony. You got to give them on
the spot. Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
The Ravens,
I definitely agree.
You got to give them props. Because I don't think anybody was really talking about the Ravens at the start of the season, right? Nobody knew how Lamar was going to turn out. And then again, Hollywood Brown. Yes, he is a great player, but I mean, to have a receiver like that, you do have to have a quarterback that can get him the ball, which Lamar has been able to do. So if they're able to keep connecting, you keep Lamar healthy and the offensive line keeps blocking for him like they are, and the Ravens defense continues to show up, I'm just saying, they're a team I'd look out for. But of course,
they have a big test this weekend.
They do, because
they
play the Chiefs.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I think that'll be a good test on Lamar. I think that's when he'll be able. I think if he does good against the Chiefs, you got to put some respect on his name. All right? You just have to. And if you remember
He almost beat him last year.
Remember last year? That was one of the best games last season, if you watched that Ravens-Chiefs game. I remember it like yesterday. So, you see, me and you just thought about that quickly. So, again, Lamar Jackson, you have to give him his props. And this was a team that many people said, oh, well, they're probably just going to – he's going to have a lot of run yards because he's not going to be able to throw like Joe Flacco. But lo and behold, we're talking about Lamar Jackson more than we are Joe Flacco in Denver. So I'm just saying. it's out there.
Absolutely, yep. I agree.
All right. Well, you have to watch out for him. And really quick, since we're talking about NFL – I don't honestly even know where to start with this whole Antonio Brown saga, if I'm honest with you, Anthony. So much going on. So much to dissect, right? We have these allegations going on. People just talking about some really just things that make your skin just cringe and cringle. Talented player. No one can take that away from him. I think the Patriots organization, I mean, this one we said, could they get any better? Then boom, they get Antonio Brown. But these off-the-field antics, I mean, do you think it's going to last all season? Is he going to fit in with the Patriots organization? Is he going to continue to do Antonio Brown things? Like, what's next?
So here's my thing. If if the off the field things get cleared up, which I think they will. I think I don't think that they're gonna last long. I think that it's gonna happen. But there's gonna be some sort of development where this kind of goes away, right? Kind of like how the thing with Big Ben went away and Robert Kraft went away. I mean, somehow, I don't know if he did it or not, and I wasn't there, so I don't know. But if those things are squared away and he's not suspended at all, I do think that he will make it through the entire season. And it's going to be something to see with the Patriots, mainly because I don't think that Tom Brady's had this much talent around him throughout his career. And that's including the couple of years he had Randy Moss. I mean, the collection of talent with Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown and Julian Edelman and Sonny Michel, and you still have James White. That's a lot of weapons, you know. And it's gonna be interesting to see what happens. But if you ask me, I think that Antonio Brown will make it throughout the season in New England.
I hope so. I'm rooting for him. I think I think it just seems like a maturity thing. Like, I don't know if you saw the latest reports. TMZ obtained video of, like, his doctor's appointment last year where Brown was, like, heard farting and laughing about a doctor in front of, like, a doctor's face as he tested him for body fat. Like, we're talking about a grown man here, not a little child.
Right.
Even the sexual assault allegations, the NFL, and I'll put this on record, they got to get it right.
They have to get it right.
Coming up, and the NFL as a league has to make a standpoint and a presence. And of course, the Patriots, I think after the Aaron Hernandez saga and some of the other stuff has went on, like, you just got to get it right. And Antonio Brown, I think, is going to have to do a lot to try to change people's opinions and show that he's grown. And again, I'm not saying that he's guilty. I'm just saying from what's out there, he has to do a lot of work, I think, to kind of change his reputation. And I'm also people being ripped for being you, but there comes a point when it's also a respect factor, and that's the thing I'm seeing that it doesn't seem like it's right. And also, as a player, you're your own brand, right? You're selling yourself. So, yes, like, everybody wants a good, talented player. And I'll just give Torrey Smith as an example, who recently retired. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say anything bad about Torrey Smith. Great player on the field, but also just a great human being. Like, that's what people want. Because also, as a player, not only are you making money from, you know, your on-the-field stuff, you have sponsorship deals, you know, you're doing your charity work. Like, you're doing so much more. So it's so much more than you. And then you're representing your team. You're representing those fans that wear your jersey. And I don't care what anybody says, but all athletes are role models, whether you want to be or not. Right now, Antonio Brown just has to – I'm just praying, like, he gets it right. Because I would hate for him to be a future 30 for 30, and we keep saying, well, what if? Well, what if?
Right.
Again, very talented, very, very talented player, one that will always scare you on the field. But you got to just be a good human being. I don't think it's too much to ask people just to be good to each other. That's all we want.
I agree. I mean, I definitely agree. And here's my thing. And if he did do these things, then he should be punished. However they want to punish him, whatever that they choose. Then that should happen. I don't think that he should just get a pass because, you know, he's such a great talent. But
right.
Especially in our culture, it's always been guilty until proven innocent. So I don't want to just jump out there and say, oh, it was alleged that he did this. He did that. And that's it. That shouldn't be the case.
Right.
We saw with Ruben Brown last year, he was accused, and I think that the 49ers cut him, and then it came out that the girl lied, you know, and so that's something that you don't really want But I mean, it's happened. We've all seen that happen in our culture, and it's terrible. But again, if he did these things, then he needs to be punished.
Right. Right. And I completely agree. I don't care how talented you are. If you did wrong, you deserve the punishment for the wrong that you did. So,
right.
There it is.
Right.
But we got to get some more positive. No, I don't want to depress the fans, Anthony.
Yeah.
We're going to go to my last segment, my Women Crush Everyday segment. And we're kind of going back to the WNBA, where I am so excited about this news when it came out. The WNBA legend, Lisa Leslie, will now reportedly be the first female athlete honored with a statue outside of the Staples Center.
Nice.
This is according to the Los Angeles Times. She'll be the 11th statue, of course, if all goes through, outside of the famed building that we all know. And then get this, her statue will also be the first of a WNBA player outside of a team's home arena. Crazy that we're still saying first in 2019 for things. But if you know Lisa Leslie, you know she was just a magnificent basketball player. She was there for the WNBA's inaugural draft. It's crazy to think about back in 1999. Played her entire career with the team. Huh, many players won't do that anymore. Through 2009, three league MVPs, two championships, four Olympic gold medals, three All-Star Game MVPs. I mean, what else can you say about Lisa Leslie, Anthony? Just magnificent and great to see that she'll be getting this honor.
Absolutely. That's long overdue also. I mean,
that
should have been happened. But like you said, it's just crazy we still saying first
in
2019. That's, but Lisa Leslie, she was a beast, man.
Yeah.
I want to say, was she the first to dunk in a game?
That's a good question.
I think she was.
I mean, if I had to guess, I would say her, because that's pretty much like what she did.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm curious, Anthony, to ask you this. Who do you think should be the second WNBA player to get a statue outside of the stadium?
Ooh. Who should be the second? Cheryl Swoops, but the Houston Comets aren't around anymore, but they can still put it outside the Toyota Center because those banners are still in the Toyota Center. So I would say Cheryl Swoops and Sue Bird. I mean, there's a lot of stars that what's her name? The head coach of South Carolina. I'm just drawing a blank right now. But I'll get it. But yeah, I mean, listen, the women's basketball. You gotta think they dominate on a global scale. Like, I don't think USA women have lost a game in years, in like decades. So I mean,
I love that you're giving love to WNBA. I love that you mentioned the South Carolina coach Dawn Staley.
Dawn Staley.
Yeah, I knew you had it. I was like, I'm a good one. But saying that to say, like, I mean, there's so many talented WNBA players, not just WNBA, but just women basketball players in general. And it's great to see that arenas are now catching up and seeing, like, yes, we want to honor all greats, but make sure they honor both men and women who gave their all to the game. Lisa Leslie just had an incredible career. And if you've been watching the Big Three, like, I don't, she's just so exciting to watch. Like, I can go on and on about her, but just so excited to see that. I would love to be at the unveiling. I think it's just going to be magnificent, and props to Los Angeles for kind of setting the tone for that. So I'm going to be excited to see. Anthony, I can't believe the show went so fast, but I enjoy talking with you, and thanks so much for being a fabulous guest on my show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a blast. And Anthony, before I let you go, let people know your social media and where they can catch your show.
Okay, my personal social media on Twitter and Instagram is Vipers31. Facebook, of course, is Anthony Adebayo. For Off the Record, you can catch us on you can actually catch us live on Wednesdays from 7 to 8 on bliss.fm / Off the Record. If you missed the live show, we have of course it's posted on Apple, Spotify, I'm sure it's on TuneIn, I believe, also. But you can just go into the Apple Podcast or Spotify, search Off the Record, and Off the Record Bliss, BLIS. Also is bliss.fm, BLIS.fm / Off the Record. And I guess I give Scott's, I don't even know Scott. Yeah, Scott's is Scott Q. Smith. That's my co-host. My brother, you know, but we pretty much we don't agree on it. Like we get kind of heated sometimes, but nah, it's all love, man. That's, you know, the Off the Record wouldn't be the same without him or I. I mean, one of us couldn't just do it. It had to be both of us.
Oh, I love the bro love. You gotta listen to this now.
Don't tell him I said all of that, because then, you know.
What do you mean? I'm going to call him after this show and tell him everything. No.
Absolutely.
It's great to hear that. It's a great show. I've had the honor and privilege of being on it. Definitely check it out. Anthony, thank you so much for your time. To everyone listening, that's a wrap for this edition of Listening with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is also available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to hit subscribe, rate, and please review. Your feedback and support truly do matter to me from the bottom of my heart. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another play. Thanks for listening.